Hey, welcome back. Steve here with Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12. This is episode 79, and I'm talking with Dr. Donald White, where we're focused on apps for the innovative classroom. I think you're going to enjoy this. Have fun.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Welcome back to Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12. Today I'm talking with Dr. Donald White, who is the Science Content Specialist and STEM Program Manager for Coweta County School System in Georgia. He has been in this position for 8 years. Prior to this position, he was a classroom teacher who taught AP Chemistry, General Chemistry, Physics, and Astronomy for 10 years. Additionally, he serves as the board chairperson for the Coweta STEM Institute, a nonprofit organization that seeks to inspire students and teachers in all things STEM. He serves on the Georgia Science Teachers Association Board. He's past president of the Georgia Science Supervisors Association. He is married to Dr. Amanda White, a teacher librarian at an elementary school, a local one. And he has a daughter, Emily, who is 10. Welcome, Donald. Say hi to everyone.
Hello, Internet. Glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate you joining me. And recently I had a chance to hear you talk at a statewide technology conference. And, you know, you were given an engaging presentation on some cool apps for classroom teachers to use, which is why we are talking today. And specifically, we're going to talk about apps for classroom innovation. But before we get there, let's talk about a few other things. I really enjoyed your presentation that day, and what was kind of neat was there was an awkwardness because I think you were actually you're supposed to have someone else there with you or something like that, and so I just want to tell you that you were cool in the delivery, no problem whatsoever. So,
well, I think that that really combines two of my loves. I really enjoy performing, so that's kind of one of the reasons why I was drawn to teaching, because I could close my door and it's the Mr. White show. I got all the cool toys being a science teacher. So I was able to really, put all that together and have a fantastic career in the classroom, doing the two things I love, blowing stuff up and acting. So, anytime I get the chance to present, I always enjoy, having the opportunity to kind of come off the cuff like that. So it was a lot of fun.
Nice, nice. Well, you did an awesome job that day, and you've kind of addressed something that I wanted to ask you right off the bat, which is why did you become a science teacher, and what do you like about teaching?
Well, I became a science teacher because I really enjoy science. It's fascinating. The more I learn about science, the more I realize I don't know all that much, and so it's there's always something new to be learned, always some new challenge to overcome, and those are the kind of things that I really enjoy. And I really enjoy working with students and finding helping them find their excitement and the things that motivate them. And science is one of those things that people really enjoy talking about because there's so many great things to do and see are in our natural world, and that's just fascinating. And that's one of the reasons why I became a science teacher.
Excellent. And people can't see it, but I thought it was pretty cool because he's drinking coffee out of what appears to be a flask with a handle on it. So
it's a beaker. if you say flask, you get in trouble.
That's true. Sorry about that. Excuse me. Let me retract that. That was a beaker.
That's right.
Didn't think about that one. That would be bad. Yes.
That would be bad. Yeah, it's definitely a beaker.
But anyway, so we got the science thing going here. What Awesome stuff. You know, it's funny. You didn't happen to be one of the science teachers that ever caught the classroom on fire or anything like that, did you?
Yeah, unfortunately, if you go back to my classroom where I taught, the ceiling tiles are still black. there are scars on the floor. I did shut down the electricity for an entire wing one day doing a demonstration. So yeah, I've had my fair share of oopses in the classroom doing those kind of demonstrations.
Nice. See, that's the stuff kids remember. I mean, I had
absolutely, and I still have students come up to me all the time, and those are the things that they remember. you know, and which is great, because I was like, hey, at least you remember something from my class. So
cool stuff. Gotta love it. The good thing is you survived. They survived, and
that's right. No one was injured. Never lost a student.
Nice. So. And even though they had to rebuild the building, just kidding.
Well, you know, a little bit of touch-up paint. It's no big deal.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you this. Let's just talk teaching for a minute. What would your ideal classroom, if money is not an issue, what would your ideal classroom look like?
Well, I tell you, this is one of the things that I'm most passionate about. And you know, when I do STEM and those kind of things, that's really what I'm trying to get after, is that ideal classroom. And to me, the ideal classroom is the real world. My ideal classroom would be something where, you know, each day we show up at a different place and we get to experience the concepts and the things that we're talking about. And the students would get to apply it. You know, I could teach physics in a factory. You know, here where I live, we have high-end, world-class manufacturing going on. And the physics that's going on in there, the engineering that's going on in there, the all of those kind of things, if I could get the students there and see it, then they could really understand why they're learning what they're learning and how that actually applies to their future life. You know, if you're talking about environmental science, it's one thing to read it in a textbook, but it's another thing to actually be out, you know, up to your armpits, you know, in the marsh out there, seeing what the concepts we're actually talking about, right, and how that's actually affecting the world. To me, the ideal classroom is not something that is, you know, high technology, you know, although I do think that it should incorporate technology. To me, the ideal classroom is the real world, you know, and getting those students outside of the four walls of the classroom is one of the things that I'm most passionate about.
That's awesome. That's, you know, as a kid, I can imagine that. Well, I know myself, when a teacher went beyond the walls of the school, that it was just, it was that much more exciting, and really felt like, you know, this is what it's supposed to be about, you know, because I don't know where I was going to go with that, is that I think a lot of times, you know, I think we can just hammer into kids that it's just about being lectured to or something like that and forget that there's doing, because that's the neat thing about science. There's that doing part. So
that's right. And you can't teach science you cannot teach science without actually doing science. And you know, science is one of those things that gives so many other subject areas kind of context. I remember that the kids used to come to me asking for help, like with math. And, you know, they would throw out a math question, and I would say, well, can you phrase that in a science context? And I can probably help you with it, because it was the science that kind of gave the math the meaning to me. And, you know, when we talk about science and we talk about the science classroom, there's so many other skills that we have to bring in order to do it effectively. You gotta bring in the communication piece, the literacy piece. You know, you've got to understand how science fits in the context of history. You know, there's so many scientific discoveries and innovations that have changed the world. And, you know, we can mark major timelines in the world based on those innovations. So that's one of those things that, you know, when we're talking about science, we got to talk about the real world. We got to talk about, you know, incorporating all of those other subject areas to really give the context. And that's what makes it a really rich experience for the students, is when, you know, you may have the student who's really not engaged in science at all. And I completely understand that. But they are a history buff, or they love to write. You know, and allowing those students the opportunity to do that in a classroom really makes a difference.
Excellent. So before we get into talking about the apps, let's tell us a little bit about what you do as a science content specialist and STEM program manager for your school system.
Well, I help to manage the science curriculum here in my district. And primarily I work with teachers. And, you know, I used to have students in the classroom, so I don't have a classroom anymore. Now I have teachers as students, which in a lot of ways is a lot more challenging than the students themselves. That's my primary goal is to help provide professional learning, coaching, and mentoring support for the teachers in my district. It's a fantastic job. It's the second best job in the world. The best job in the world to me is being a classroom teacher. But getting to work with classroom teachers and knowing that, you know, I'm helping them help their students, I've seen the impact that I've had kind of multiply. You know, I love the fact that I over my career, I taught thousands of students, and so many of them have told me the impact that I had with them. And I know that I'm helping other teachers have that same impact with their kids. So I'm able to multiply that effect.
Nice. And I gotta ask this because we're talking technology. You know, I'm somebody who my interest started with the space program, you know, science fiction like Star Trek sorry, I'm little older, so we're talking Captain Kirk and Spock and all that.
I love Captain Kirk.
nice. And Star Wars and many Walt Disney movies from my childhood, there are a bunch, like the computer wore tennis shoes and stuff like this, where it just was all about experiments, and suddenly, you know, like my favorite, Now You See Him, Now You Don't, which was a Disney one from the 70s with Kurt Russell in it, and, you know, he makes something in the lab that it doesn't go the way. They were trying to figure out better vitamins to make better cows or something like this, and it ends up making a formula that turns him invisible, and all that type of stuff is what made me want to look at science and get excited about trying to do and stuff like this. What got you interested in technology and apps and such?
I think it definitely is an extension of the science. Getting into things like the utilizing the technology in order to help enhance the classroom experience. I'm the guy, I want the latest and greatest technology. I want the biggest TV with the highest definition. You know, I want the fastest computer. I want the latest video games. You know, those are the kind of things for me. And I think, you go all the way back, I grew up in the heyday of the home video game console. So you're talking about, I went from the Atari to the Nintendo. Yeah, exactly. I cut my teeth on Pitfall, nice. and River Raid and those kind of things, yes. on the classic Atari system. And then, I got to move up to Super Mario Brothers, and now I'm playing, Marvel Legos with my daughter, nice. On our PlayStation 4. I think, that's where my love for technology came from, is the ability of that technology to engage us. I mean, my daughter and I can spend hours, in those immersive environments, in the Lego world, playing games together. And that's, anytime I get to spend time with my daughter doing the things that we love, that's just a great time. So, if I can extend that into the classroom, that's where the technology and the apps, always love that. Always love that, seeing the kids get excited about it and learning from the kids too. That was the thing, is that, as we work with students with the technology, the teachers always tell me that they're always afraid of what, not knowing how that app is going to work, not knowing how to do it or whatever. And I said, you can turn that over to the kids. Tell the students, hey, I got this app, I want you to take a look at it. Try it out. Tell me how we could use this in the classroom. And 9 times out of 10, they come back with something phenomenal for you to use that you end up using, from here on out in your classroom. So those are that's the kind of thing that really turns me on about technology in the classroom. And I'm definitely a gamer. Nice. I'm not very good, but I love to play.
Excellent. Well, let's use that as a segue into into talking about apps. Tell me a little bit about what you have to share. What specific apps do you think are great for classroom teachers to use?
Well, if we're talking about using apps for innovation, the joke is there's an app for that. And, for me, there is no specific app that is going to make you more innovative if you start using it. There are apps out there that allow you they'll coach you on innovation, help spark you, those kind of things. But there's no app that you can just plug in that's just going to make you, super innovative, and you're going to, going to change the world. I think, you have to have that innovative spirit, that you want to try something, that you're not afraid of trying it and having it blow up on you. Those are the kind of, I think it's about your attitude as much as it is about the app itself. Having said that, I do have several apps that I wanted to share related to innovation. And they all are kind of have the same background, the same idea that they're going to give you a spark,
okay.
You know, help you think about something that is going to maybe change the way that you're thinking, and kind of give you that, you know, aha moment. One of them is Brain Sparker. And what Brain Sparker is it's got a series of spark cards that are designed to help you kind of kickstart your creativity. What they do is, you know, it's all about substituting something, what would Edison think about this? What would Henry Ford think about this? You know, that kind of when you're working on a new idea, when you're working on trying to develop something that is different, sometimes you kind of hit the brick wall and you can't. You're thinking so hard. You got your thinking cap on so tight. It kind of gives you tunnel vision. Apps like Brain Sparker give you that kind of brain break.
Cool.
To help break up your thinking and help take you in a different direction.
Very nice. Very nice.
There's another one called O-Flow. And I've shared this in a Google Doc with you, and you're welcome to share this with your listeners.
Oh, thank you.
And it's got links to all of these. But O-Flow connects with Evernote. And I know that a lot of your listeners are probably familiar with Evernote. But it allows you to track your ideas. You know, you think about when you're in the movies. You know, they always have the actors who are, you know, inventors or whatever. They always wake up in the middle of the night with a great idea.
Yes.
And they're frantically writing down their idea in their notepad by the bed. Well, this is kind of what O-Flow does. It allows you a place to track your ideas and tie things in that you've scooped up along the way. You know, I remember my textbooks in the classroom when I was teaching, I always had things sticking out of them. You know, as I'm out places, I would find stuff and, you know, sticking in there to remind me, you know, that's kind of what O-Flow does, allows you to kind of collect all of your ideas in one place. It can also give you a creative nudge when you need it. You know, it has the spark cards again. Of course, they call them something different, but the idea is the same. That is gonna help you keep track of your ideas and help you keep that innovative process going. There's another called Unleash Creativity, which I thought was really interesting. That it talks about creating, refining, and finishing. You know, and for me being a STEM guy. You know, that is the STEM attitude, is that, you know, you're going to create something new, that you're going to refine it and continue to refine it until you get to the point where you've got something that works and works well. It's more of a resource app. I read the backstory about the developer, and he was trying to get a book published, and he couldn't get the book published. So he said, well, I'm going to make an app. And basically it's, you know, a book within an app, and it walks you through the process of innovation. It walks you through some ideas about how to make your things better.
Oh,
so that was kind of interesting for me. And you know, we're talking about apps, and I wanted to share this story about my daughter. My daughter is 10. She's amazing, and you know, I love talking with her about, you know, how could we do things differently? Because she's so into that. And, you know, we're talking about apps for innovation, and there's so many apps out there that we could use creatively that allow us to be innovative. And I'll give you an example. My daughter is a monster recorder player. Those are her words.
Okay. And when you say recorder, you mean like the little clarinet looking thing?
Little plastic flute.
Gotcha.
You know,
okay.
Kind of
okay.
Thing. Oh my gosh, that is an acquired taste for musical instruments. I have to say, it's not my favorite thing that she plays, but she can't. Her music turns her on. She gets excited with music. And she came home one day. She was in third grade, and had the recorder. And she was talking about that they were playing in a round, in recorder club. And she was all excited. She wanted to show me how you could play in a round. And I said, well, babe, that, you know, in order to play in a round, you have to have more recorders, you know? And I thought that was going to be the end of it, because I didn't really want to hear her play the recorder again. But she, you know, a look kind of came over her face, and she said, I'll be right back. And she ran off, and a few minutes later, she came back with her iPod. And she sat down on the floor, pressed play on the iPod, and it was her playing the recorder, and she recorded herself you know, on the iPod.
Wow.
And then she started playing, you know, in the round wow. with herself.
Wow.
So, you know, that whole idea about, you know, innovation and that there's an app that's going to lead you to innovation. That's not what makes you innovative. It's how you use the app that makes you innovative. And, you know, there's a third grader who's, you know, taking me a place I never would have thought of, you know, for doing something that she's passionate about. And I think that's the key, is that when you're talking with the students and we're talking to teachers about innovation, you know, you're trying to get them to see, how can we do things differently? How can we use the technology, use these apps to take our students where we want them to go, and not follow the app the way it's designed to be used? You know, that you're talking about these apps that are going to help you keep track of your ideas, you know, and that's incredible. But it's the app itself is not what's going to make you innovative. It's your attitude, your willingness to try, and your willingness to fail. And that's, you know, that's a key piece for innovation for me, is the willingness to try and fail.
Well, that's awesome. That's, you know, that is that, I think that's something that, too often we get caught up in this idea that there's one right way to do something. And the great thing about technology is that you can take it and you may be using it in a way in which it's going to help you do something that you had an idea about, not necessarily the it's just got to use it this way. And that's what's so cool about the human mind and about working with kids, to me, is that as you start working with them, they start coming up with different ways of doing something. And, you know, it's like, cool, I didn't think about that, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and you know, in talking with the business leaders in my community, they talk about innovation, that innovation is going to be the key for us, and that we need to allow students to be innovative in the classroom. I heard Condoleezza Rice talking, and she was saying that in the 19th century, we measured a country's might by the resources that they had in the ground. You know, the gold, the iron, you know, those kind of things, the oil. In the 20th century, we measured a country's might by its manufacturing capabilities. And that's definitely what helped us win World War II, is our ability to make things, you know, in mass. In the 21st century, she said, that's going to be the era of innovation. And that we're going to measure a country's might by its ability to innovate. And so, you know, here's Condoleezza Rice, who, you know, is an amazing, amazing person with lots and lots of experience on the world stage. You've got my local community telling me that the business leaders telling me that innovation is going to be a key skill that students are going to need to have. But I don't know how often our classrooms are set up to allow students to be innovative, you know, and the teachers will tell you, well, it's, you know, it's the standardized testing and all of that type of stuff. Yeah, I get all of that. But I also know that, you know, if you set up your classroom to allow the students to have the opportunity to grow, to explore, I really feel like that the standardized testing piece will take care of itself. If you set it up right, if you give them the opportunity to be innovative, you give them the opportunity to explore, make the connections for them, that's where that innovation is going to start happening in our classrooms. And I think that is such a key piece that we're going to need to focus on as we move forward in education.
That's awesome. I love that. That's, you know, first of all, that's just a cool aspect of working with kids, period, working as an adult, working in a situation where as you set out on the journey, you don't know what direction it might take you, because someone might, you know, say, hey, what if we did, or what if we do? And you got to, and when you do that, that's an aspect in the class that if you can, you understand that you need to pursue that with them, you're going to end up being able to address, you know, the higher order thinking that's starting to happen there with analyzing and taking apart and evaluating and synthesizing the information and putting it together in a new sort of way is what it's all about. And that's when, I mean, it sets kids' brains on fire and stuff like that when you can spend time doing that. That's cool what you're talking about.
Well, and then, you know, you're talking about, you know, teacher renewal there too. You know, if your kids' brains are on fire, if they're on fire in the classroom in a good way, you know, being a science teacher, you have to be careful about setting students on fire in a classroom.
Yes,
but
yes.
If the students are on fire because they're learning, they're engaged, you know, man, that makes your job as a teacher so much easier. You know, that, because that's what I hear, you know, a common refrain is that the kids, they don't care. You know, well, they do care, but they care about the things that they care about. And as a teacher, if you want the students to be engaged and you want the students to be innovative and those kind of things, those are the kind of things that the students are interested in. They want to make their world better, but they want to make it the way that they want to make it better with the ideas that they have. So right. Let them have the opportunity to explore those. And that's where STEM comes in for me, is having that opportunity for the students to come up with new ideas and explore their creativity and tie it to what they're doing in the classroom. That's when, the kids really do get, like, as you said, on fire. And having a class full of kids who are on fire for learning, man, that's the best job in the world.
It sure is. That is, I just love the way you've stated all that, because that's the part that I miss most in working in education, is when you work with kids and you just all of a sudden all the gears are clicking and the wheels are spinning, and it's like here they go and they're coming up with these solutions and so forth. And that's what it's all about, figuring out experimenting with and coming up with their solutions. And that's that setting on fire that I'm talking about. And I love it. I love what you're talking about, because like you said before, the apps themselves, they're not going to do it. It's how you use them.
And that's right.
As with anything, it's how you use that space, that time outside those walls. I love that. So good stuff.
Yeah. And continuing on the app theme, there are so many different apps that are out there that, the apps are a dime a dozen these days. There are loads of apps out there that allow you to do things like group work, project management apps. So you think about things, there's an app called Basecamp, which is a really popular app in the professional world. It allows you to track your employees as they work on a project. They can upload documents, they can share updates, and so that when you're sitting down to get ready for bed at night and you want to see where they're what the status is for the next morning, you can see where the employees have entered in the information and talk about the progress that they've made. Well, doing that in a classroom, I don't know about you, but group work was a four-letter word when I was in school, because that meant that I was going to end up doing all the work.
I understand, yes.
especially because if I wanted a good grade on it, I always felt like that I had to do all the work. Well, this allows you to track each individual's contributions to the overall project. There's loads of project management apps out there. Another popular one is called Asana, and it's the same kind of setup. It's all the different interfaces are really the difference between them. But you've got lots of other apps out there too that innovative folks use a lot. Things like Evernote. Evernote is that the idea that you can keep everything, and Evernote. You can access it from anywhere. You can access it on your phone, on your computer, on a tablet. There's Sketch, which is a product of Evernote. It allows you to annotate pictures. Picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, I'll give you this example. My wife sent me to the grocery store, and she was looking for a specific product, and she told me what aisle it was going to be on, and where to look for it. So I went to that aisle and I couldn't find it. And I was texting her. I was like, it's not here. And so I took a picture, and sent it to her. And she used Sketch and put a big pink arrow pointing right to the product that was on the shelf that was right in front of my face.
He took a picture of it, didn't know it, huh?
Exactly. She pointed it out to me. There are other apps out there, of course, our district is a Google district now. I've been focusing on those Google products. Google Keep is a great app. It's a note-taking app that allows you to, you add things like lists and photo. You can even add audio in there as well. And those are great things. I shared in the document with you a Google Keep tutorial that one teacher who's using the flipped classroom model is using Google Keep to help the students and as they work through the stuff that they're doing. Google Docs, obviously, is you got sheets and slides and forms. The thing that I love about that is that it allows you to collaborate anywhere. That you and I are separated by many, many miles of highway right now, but you and I could work on a project together real time And I could see what you're adding and you could see what I'm adding. And, you know, we could actually have a conversation right there within the documents. One of the things that I think that Google is missing is the ability for students to collaborate with videos. And I found an app that allows you to do that. It's called WeVideo. There's a Chrome app that's available for you. So it's an application that embeds itself within the Chrome web browser, but it allows students to collaborate as they create videos. So the students can upload different pieces and they can move pieces around, and it works like a Google Doc where you can see, you know, who's doing what, and so, you know, you could assign different parts of the video to different students and they could work on it all at the same time, but they don't have to worry about meshing it together later. And so that's one of the things that I thought was really, really cool, is that ability to collaborate with WeVideo. Excellent. And again, in the document that I shared, there's a tutorial about how they use it in a classroom.
You were talking about being a gamer. One of the things that's really cool that kids do, which some of those apps that you're talking about are really keying in on this, when kids get online and whether it's that they're playing the game in the house and then they get online and go find out how somebody got beyond something, or they go send a question out into the cloud to say, hey, all right, I want to know how somebody got beyond this cave wall that I can't get through. Or, you know, in the case of some of the games where you're actually chatting while you're doing it, where you're working with people like League of Legends or something like this.
Sure.
And, you know, and you're actually talking to people as you're gaming. And, you know, that's something that those apps that you're just talking about really lend themselves to, is that collaborative nature that the kids have to help them solve problems.
Right. And you know, you can't be an innovator by yourself.
You know, come on now.
I can't sit in my office and come up with innovation and expect it to, you know, just go out into the world and make the world better. You have to have other people help you do that. You know, you're not a leader if you don't have any followers. You know, you've got to have that opportunity to collaborate. And you know, in talking with the teachers, you know, when they put kids like doing group work and they want them to be creative and they want them to be innovative, the most successful groups are the ones that are the most diverse. That you've got, you know, the opportunity for kids of all walks of life or all ability levels to come together, and they all have a different point of view. And that's what makes those projects the best. You know, when you take all the smart kids and you put them in one group, they end up arguing over it, and they don't ever make any progress.
Right.
You know, but if you throw one of those students in there who, you know, is not the most academically successful, but they're the type of kid who sits in the back of the classroom and takes the desk apart, you know, they're a doer.
Right.
You put those the academic kids with those type the doer kids, and you put those together, and that's where the rubber really meets the road, and that's where the true innovation takes place. You know, if you look in corporate America knows that the more diverse your groups are, the better solutions you're going to be able to come up with, because you've got so many different points of view to be able to see a problem. And it's just like you said, you know, if you're playing video games, my daughter plays Minecraft, for example, you know, there are kids out there who create videos about how to do things within the game.
Yes.
And they're helping each other innovate. And what you'll see is you'll see a YouTube video on how to do this, and then you'll see a response video.
Right.
So the students are collaborating, the kids are collaborating back and forth, talking about, hey, you know, let's solve this problem together and let's make it better. You know, just amazing what the kids can do. You know, if we give them the opportunity to work together. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, collaborating was equivalent to cheating.
Yes.
You know, that I was to sit in my desk in a row and not, you know, not look left or right, that it was, you know, just about me and what I could do. And what we know in the real world is that, you know, we so seldom work in isolation, that we're always working on a team to solve problems. And you know, we've got to give the students the opportunity to do that. And using some of these tools are good ways to help us help the students collaborate and solve problems.
I love that. Love it. Well, I appreciate the apps that you were sharing with me. If we're getting on towards running out of time here. So what I wanted to do is, and thank you so much for those. What I'm going to do is make sure that they're listed in the show notes and as well as with links to them. And great stuff there. Before I let you go, Donald, I want to get you to talk about this. If you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers, these are teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
I would say two things. Number one, I'm assuming that because you're a teacher, that someone has inspired you to be a teacher. And you want to remember what it was that teacher did that inspired you. That, you know, whether it was that they took time to understand, you know, your problems, they took time to listen to you, you know, they didn't let you fail, you know, not that they gave you things, but that they, you know, helped you become something that you didn't think you could be. Those are the kind of behaviors and attitudes that new teachers need to keep in mind as they work with their students. Is, you know, what was it that got you to where you are, and how can you pay that forward to those students that you're working with? The other thing to keep in mind, the other side of that coin, is to remember what it was, you know, about those teachers that drove you nuts. About the teachers that weren't the best teachers, and what it was that they did that made you not like going to their class. You know, whether it was, you know, that they lectured, or that they didn't listen to you, you know, that they didn't allow you to ask questions, you know, those kind of things. What behaviors about those bad teachers made you not like them, and make sure that you avoid those. You know, because that's, I think, all too often we forget as we become adult teachers, is that, you know, we were all sitting on the other side of the desk at one point in our lives, and how much impact that had on us and how much impact we can have on them. You know, we've got to keep in mind what it is that, you know, got us engaged and got us moving, and what, you know, made us feel bad, and what made us not want to go to class. If we can avoid the bad behaviors and, you know, enhance the good behaviors, teacher behaviors, then, you know, you're going to make your classroom a better place.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. So let's do the same with principals. What advice would you give principals?
With principals, you know, you got to think about that. You think about the good leaders and what those leaders did for you and how they, you know, helped you get to where you wanted to go. I'd also say too that, you know, with principals, you know, that is such a tough job, and that until you've done it, you really don't understand how difficult that job can be. You know, with that, you've got to have a lot of help to be a good principal. You can't do it all by yourself. So principals need to give their teachers the space to be innovative, to try things, and to know that it, you know, it may not work the first time, but that if the teacher is thinking about something that is going to help the students and help them kind of break out of the box that the kind of the classroom puts them in, you know, you've got to allow the teachers the opportunity to pursue that and give them the space to try and fail. And know that, you know, if the teacher is a good teacher, they're going to learn from their failures and keep, you know, moving along, keep improving. And that if you create that kind of innovative culture, you know, just like I was always amazed when I let the students lead the classroom where they took us. It's the same with the teachers. If you allow the teachers to lead, there's some amazing, innovative, creative teachers out there. And if you engage them, they can take you some amazing places within your, you know, take your school amazing places. And you know, but you can only get there by giving them the space to try. And that's, you know, you get the teachers on fire when you give them that space. And, you know, if it's just like if you have a classroom full of students on fire, if you've got a school full of teachers on fire, man, it's a fantastic job.
Love it. Love it. Great advice. Great advice, Donald. Thank you. So before we close, do you have a teacher in your past that made a difference in your life? And if given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
This was an easy one. She was my drama teacher in high school. Her name's Sherry Bishop. And unfortunately, she's no longer in education. She's a wonderful, she's got her own daughter, wonderful mother. I follow her on Facebook and get to see all the things she's into. But the thing that Sherry did for me was that she believed in me. In fact, her voice is the voice that I hear in my head when I'm working on a new a project or something like that. I can, being on stage, the lights are very bright when you're on stage, and you can't see the audience all the time. But she would sit out on the audience, and I can hear her voice through the darkness. No, that's not right. Do it again. And I asked her one time, I said, why are you yelling at me? You're always telling me that's not right. Do it again. And she said, Donald, when I stop yelling at you, that means that I've given up on you, that I don't think that you can do it any better than you're doing it now. And that made all the difference in the world to me as a student. That's where I started, putting it together. Oh, okay, I get it. That we are supposed to continually try to get better, and that we need somebody to help push us along. And I'd like to think that she'd be proud of the teacher, the educator that I became. I still have some of the same bad habits that I had back then. And I still hear her voice, yelling at me, no, do it again. You can do better. So those are some things that she did for me. And I know she did for lots of the students that I worked with. And I hope that I did that same thing for my students.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. If the audience would like to connect with you over social media, is there a way they could connect with you if they have questions about what we talked about? Would you?
Sure. Okay, they can follow me on Twitter at @dwhitesciguy. That's my Twitter handle. I love to engage in Twitter chats and those kind of things. I'm Google Plus. I welcome that kind of interaction. So those are the best ways to get a hold of me. And they can, of course, I'm in this for everyone. So, I welcome questions via email too. Donald.White@cowitaschools.net. So they can email me and get in touch with me that way.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Donald, it's been great talking with you. I appreciate your time and advice today. The apps you shared, I will, like I said earlier, I'll link those in the show notes. And like you said, one of the things that happens with innovation is that it's not really the app, it's how you use it, right? And I love that advice that you gave, and just great stuff. I so appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve, for having me. Been a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.